The date? I have no clue. But I'm going to say it took place a number of years ago. But the place was apparently some small town in West Virginia. And the store manager was in his grocery store, and he overheard one of the clerks telling a customer as she was paying her bill, "No, ma'am, we haven't had any for a while, and it doesn't look like we'll be getting any soon. Absolutely horrified, the manager came rushing up to the till and to the customer and said, "Of course we'll have some soon. We placed an order for it last week." With an odd look on her face, the customer replied, "Okay, that's good to know," and took her groceries and left the store. As soon as she was out of earshot, the manager said to the clerk, Never, ever, ever say that we are out of anything. Always say that we've got it on order and that it's coming. Do you understand?" "Yes, sir," said the clerk, but isn't that telling a lie?" And the manager says, "Do you know what we have on order?" Well, no. The manager snapped, "Now, what was it that she wanted?" Very quietly, in a voice, the clerk responded, "Rain? Rain?" With that, the manager was a little bit confused. He just told the customer that he put the order in and they'll be getting some next week. Today, we are going to examine the importance of being a friend of God. Abraham, as we've been studying his life this last while, he's truly a man who sought the Lord. And hopefully we will see this, because we're going to dive into the beginning of chapter 18. So if you've got your Bibles, go to Genesis chapter 18. And I want to read the first portion of it. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, and while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day, Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. And when he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. And he said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so that you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get 3 seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. And then he brought some curds and some milk and the calf that had been prepared. And he set these before them. And while they ate, he stood nearby them under a tree. "Where is your wife, Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. And then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and were well advanced in years. And Sarah was at the age, or was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I have this pleasure?" Ah, yes. There's so many things. Happy Thanksgiving, folks. Happy Thanksgiving. I do hope that at some point this weekend you will have time to celebrate, and perhaps you will be like Abraham and host angels unaware. I'm not sure which are the angels in my family, but we'll figure that out tomorrow. But hopefully we can host, and we can, if you're not hosting, attend and be a part of family and just share in the incredible blessings that God has given us. But even if you don't, you may be filled with thanks as we have a wonderful God who has provided and taken care of us so faithfully. So may your time be filled with family, food, fun, and maybe even some laughter, like Sarah. Maybe for different reasons, though. One of the greatest challenges that we have as Christians, that we face today, is growing closer to God. Yes, it is possible to have a more intimate relationship with a holy God. It is possible to call upon him as your friend. We actually had some of those lyrics this morning in one of the songs. I know him as a father. I've known him as a friend. But how often do we actually think of that? It is possible to call upon him as our friend, as our provider, as our strength, as our hope, as our peace, as our all. And when what gets us in trouble is not actually following him or not drawing closer to him. Because when we're not doing those things, he doesn't feel like a provider. He doesn't feel like our strength. He doesn't feel like our hope. He doesn't feel like our friend, because we're not drawing close to him. And so as we draw closer to him, to God as and his character, we grow in relationship with him. And ultimately, we see God as a dear, beloved, and close friend. But even as a friend, we must remain, or remember and remain steadfast in the fact that he is God. He is God Almighty. And therefore, he is to be utterly respected and revered in ways that maybe we don't do very well either. But Abraham here, he desired to be close to God. It burned in him. Actually, it in this passage is exactly about that intimacy that he desired to have with God. And just as quickly, how many of you have heard of this account before? Is this a familiar story to you? Just by show of hands. Okay. Problem is, familiarity breeds sleepiness. So this morning, let's not get sleepy. Let's pay attention to what God is saying. God's word gives us more than we realize. It gives us exactly what we need. The first thing that I see here in this passage is a simple fact that God appeared and sought Abraham and his friendship. Now, many of us don't realize this simple fact because we desire to be his friend. So we try to make it appear as if we are make this happen on our own efforts. We do all sorts of things that we think God wants us to do. We think that we need to clean up our lives on our own. So we start by doing certain things or dress this way or believe other things. Or we think it's all about us. So I want to ask you this simple question. How do we become a friend of God? Well, the word tells us here that God actually seeks our friendship. It was the Lord himself who appeared and sought Abraham and his friendship. That's what it says right here. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. And Scripture uses the word friend to describe this relationship. The relationship that Abraham had with God is called a friendship. He is called a friend of God in three places in Scripture. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we read this. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kings or all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Oh, our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? The Scriptures call Abraham the friend of God. God spoke through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 41, but as for you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, my chosen one, descendant from Abraham, friend, my friend. God was speaking through Isaiah, and he said, Abraham, my friend. And then in the New Testament, just in case you thought it was all Old Testament stuff, no, James. James referred to this relationship also. And so it happened just as the Scriptures say, Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. All throughout Scripture, this relationship is proven and shown that this was a friendship. It was not just reserved for Abraham, because Jesus calls us his friend in John chapter 15. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father has told me. We are the friends of God. Does that excite you? Anybody like that fact? I'm a friend of God, and so are you. That's awesome. And we are not just subjects. We are not minions of God. We are more than acquaintances. We are his friend. And that is an amazing concept. The Lord appeared to Abraham to further build and strengthen their relationship, because God desired a close walk with his creation. And our entire study in Genesis has been helping us see that this relationship that God wants, that God is for us. It's not all about us. It's all about him being in a relationship with him. What God desires for Abraham, he also desires for you, to have this relationship with him, to have that close tie that is more than a casual knowledge. Rather, it becomes the most important relationship that we have or will ever have. Do you see that in this account? In this appearing, it shows that God came down to be a part of Abraham's day. And the Hebrew word here used is Yahweh, the Lord God in his person. Now, some have suggested that this is a pre-incarnate Jesus, or a Christophany, or a theophany, depending on which word you would like to use, which means that Jesus appeared before he actually came as a baby. And I find it reasonable to say that this makes sense. It absolutely makes sense. But it is the Lord who has appeared. That's what the Word of God says. It is God who has appeared. But this is the only place in all of Scripture that has a personal visit by God represented by not just one man, but three. Perhaps this isn't just Christ that has shown up, but maybe God the Father and the Holy Spirit showed up as well. Is this the Trinity in the Old Testament? I'd like to think that's cool. I do think that's cool. I'd like to think that this is the Trinity. All of them showed up to hang out and have a meal with Abraham because they're friends. But regardless whether it's the Trinity or it's just God the Father or it's Christ or maybe it was just the Holy Spirit, regardless, the fact is that Abraham was personally visited by the Lord God, which tells me that God was personally invested in a relationship with him. And so to answer the question, how do we become a friend of God? Spend time with him. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees as he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. And Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. And when he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. Now here we see that Abraham and the state of being that he was in. And there are several states that we need to look at. We see that Abraham was taking a break from the heat of the day. And when he looked up, he saw three men standing nearby. And when he was seated. And the implication here is that Abraham was deep in thought, pondering, and yet at rest. This is a position that I am quite familiar with, because I find myself seated and just pondering as I look at the Word of God. I find myself sitting and pondering the amazingness of God as I look out at his creation when I'm outdoors. And just to sit there quietly and ponder God. I love to do stuff like that. I'm not just sitting there blankly staring at nothing and thinking nothing, which occasionally does happen, but I love to sit there and ponder God and the Word of God and just to sit there and soak in him and yet be at rest. But I think about Abraham. He has just received the news a short while ago that Ishmael is not the promised seed. How could this not be on his mind? Well, we thought, oh, Lord, what have I done? and to ponder at that. How could it not be heavy upon his heart? How is this actually going to work, God? I just got to try and figure it out. He's trying to figure it out. By the way, he's 99 years old, so sitting and resting and pondering it, that's a good thing to do, right? In the Psalms, Psalm 19, we read this. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. It is there that we find comfort, rest, and assurance for tomorrow. We also see that he hurried. Now, I'm trying to picture this in my mind. 99-year-old man sitting by the entrance of his tent. I'll assume he's on a stool. I mean, if he's on the ground, that's even more kudos to him, right? But he's sitting there, and he looks up and suddenly sees three men, and he immediately appears. And when God appears Abraham, he just responds. He just gets up and he hurries to these men to meet the needs of these men. I have no clue how Abraham knew who these men were. Were their clothes like glowing? Did they have halos? What was it that he said, oh, there's three men? Was it the fact that they just suddenly appeared? Now, sometimes I think that happens, but it's usually because I've been so deep in thought I wasn't watching what was actually going on around me. And then suddenly, there is a person standing in my office and they have just appeared and I didn't even know that they were there. It happened recently, didn't it, John? Deep in thought and suddenly John was in my office. Hi, didn't know you were here. But for this, I don't know what it was. Maybe he didn't know right away. But the promise reiterated in verse 10 about him having a son settled it. Verse 10 says that the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year. And Sarah, your wife, will have a son. That's a personal statement. I will return. But at the beginning, did they appear in, like I said, shimmering clothing? Perhaps their very presence just radiated the love of God. But whatever it was, Abraham took off at breakneck speed of a 99-year-old, whatever that happens to be. He got up and moved, and he got there quickly, and he immediately does something. He bowed before them, low to the ground, taking on this posture, this state of a humbled servant. When in reality, Abraham is a powerful landowner. He's got livestock. He's got great wealth. Why is he bowing? Not only that, but it's near his tent. Shouldn't the visitors be, hello? But no. Abraham rushes to them and immediately he bows low before them. Because none of this matters as we see as Abraham takes on this humble role. And then he calls out to Sarah to begin preparing a meal for them of bread. And he chooses the finest young calf. He even does some of the cooking himself and grabs the curds and the beverage. And he begins to become personally involved by serving these men a meal himself. See, he ran to the herd. He selected the choicest tender calf. He gave it to the servants who hurried to prepare it. And then he brought some of the curds and the milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. And while they ate, he stood nearby them under a tree. Did you notice what Abraham didn't do? He didn't sit down and begin to eat with them. He stood back, ready to serve. He doesn't sit down and join them. He takes on that role of a humble servant, allowing the men to enjoy while he serves. Oh, your milk is running out. Let me get some more. Oh, you would like some more curds? Yeah, I like cheese curds too. Here, have some more cheese curds. Meat? Yeah, we got more of that. I got the whole calf. Let's eat. Let's be. And this is what we see Abraham do at the age of 99. And it's why we need to live this lesson today. Jesus gives this, he says, talks about this in Luke 22. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. For I am among you as one who serves. See, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. Abraham understood this. He understood this concept, and he served. But on the other side of the curtain, we find Sarah. Now, Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years. And Sarah was past the age of childbearing. And so Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure? And then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. And Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not laugh. But he said, yes, you did laugh. We can draw closer to being a friend of God by believing what he said. And in that we find comfort and joy and peace to go on. Yet when Sarah hears the promise with her own ears, she reacts not in worship, but in disbelief. This is not the first time she's heard this. It's the first time she's heard the timing of this by next year. But it's not the first time that she has heard that we're going to have a baby. She's been hearing this for almost 25 years. Before, the promise was given to Abraham only. But now she is hearing it for herself with her very own ears in the presence of God, and she knew the promise. We have proof of that in Hagar. She knew that there was a promise for a child, so maybe we could do this with Hagar, and Ishmael came. That she knew that wasn't the fulfillment of it. But now she is hearing it herself. What God has promised, what his promise is. And her response, let's be honest, it is easily understood. But it was a matter of unbelief. Becoming a friend of God means that we conquer unbelief once and for all. We must be settled in our minds that God knows us. He knows our circumstances, and we are cared by Him. He cares for us. He wants His good to become a part of who we are in Him. And when it doesn't make sense, we need to lean into Him for strength and understanding. But without God in the picture, who can blame her? Humanly speaking, childbirth was nearly impossible right now for her. Abraham is 100 years old. Sarah is now 90 years old. And as laughable as it is just not feasible. And so Sarah allows this negative thought to enter her mind, which causes her to laugh. And this laugh, unlike that of Abraham's last week, is a laugh of unbelief. Unbelief in the certainty of God. And unbelief that she actually thinks God is speaking foolishness. She did not believe God could do this. And her thoughts were rebellious. But it is also interesting that when Mary was first told, "Mary, you're going to have a child," her immediate thought was also towards biology. I'm not sure how, Lord. I'm a virgin. Sarah, could it possibly be now that I'm old and worn out? How? Both women went to biology with their first thought. But one believed and the other did not. One understood that God is the omniscient and omnipotent creator. In fact, God knew that Sarah laughed privately to herself. Thomas, he also had a similar problem. He wouldn't believe. And Jesus called him out on it when he appeared. God will do the very same thing to Sarah because He knows everything and He has the power to do all things. He even says, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you this time, at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." It's not a might have or will be pregnant, or it's she will have not just a child, she will have a son. God speaks in certainty. He speaks as if it is already done. And at this point, Sarah should have believed. But for some reason, Sarah was afraid. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I didn't laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." God was calling Sarah to repentance, to confession. And this is exactly what He does for you and me today. He calls us to confess, to draw closer, to seek His strength, to be His friend. Sarah could have overcome her unbelief if she had confessed and sought God's forgiveness. But because she was afraid, she lied. Man, fear. That little four-letter word, fear, causes so many things to go wrong. I remember when my boys were crying, and sometimes they would hide, and other times they would come running for help. Unbelief will always keep us from trusting and drawing closer to God. We need to confess that God is supreme, that God can overcome, that God is God and we are not. And we must realize that because He is all powerful, everything is possible. That is how we draw close and truly become a friend of God. Are you willing to surrender your wants for His provisions? Today, let us not simply surrender to Him in a timid voice. Okay, God. Don't be like that clerk with the overbearing manager. Don't surrender in that timid voice. It's Thanksgiving. Let us shout to the Lord, "Yes, Lord, I believe you. You are God Almighty. You are the creator of everything. You are the one who has provided everything. All of it. Everything that I have, everything that I am is because of you. And I want that relationship with you that is so deep that you and I are friends, best friends, friends who know each other, friends that love each other, that spend time together. So let us shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing power and majesty, praise to the King. The Lord God Almighty." Worship team, come and lead us in this. There's a song about this, right? We got to sing this song together. Let's just stand together if you are able and sing with your whole voice. Shout to the Lord. Let the earth sing. Thanksgiving because He is God Almighty. Amen.